in Proverbs chapter 26, 12 to 16. Proverbs chapter 26, 12 to 16. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceits? There is more hope of a fool than of him. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we do ask your blessing upon the reading of the Scripture, upon our time together this afternoon, and that you may bless our understanding of all things in Christ, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, in our continuing allegory of Pilgrim's Progress, we find that Pilgrim and Hopeful are on their way to the Celestial City. They recently have entered the Delectable Mountains, such mountains as the Lord of the Hill had provided for weary pilgrims where they might take rest and find counsels of the shepherds that dwell there upon the hillside. And the Pilgrim and the Hopeful, Christian and Hopeful, find that such shepherds as are there are there to fellowship with those who are on their way to the Celestial City. And Christian and Hopeful have met a number of people along the way. And as the shepherds have now instructed and counseled Christian and Hopeful, they send them on their way once again. You may remember the last time we came together, they looked through the perspective glasses. That is, they looked through those glasses that would give them some vision of a city whose builder and maker is God. You may remember in the book of Hebrews that Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. And Christian and Hopeful look through those glasses, looking toward the Celestial City, they were somewhat dimmed by the experiences of their travels, wherein they turned aside unto the byway meadow, the path, the little meadow which turned away unto Doubting Castle and unto Giant Despair. But yet they were able to see the bright light of the city glowing. The glory of that city was yet clear to them. And so Christian and Hopeful now continue on their journey. And the first thing that Christian and Hopeful encounter is a man on his way to the Celestial City. And Christian and Hopeful then meet Ignorance on his way to the Celestial City. Well, it just so happens that Ignorance is from the little town called Conceit. And as we find written in the book of Proverbs here, that the slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way. And he is a man who is wise in his own conceits. And so he is given to ignorance. And we find that as Christian and Hopeful then meet with this fellow, they have some discourse with him. And I slept and dreamed again and saw the same two pilgrims going down the mountain along the highway toward the city. Now a little below these mountains on the left hand lieth the country of Conceit, from which country there comes into the way in which the pilgrims walk a little crooked lane. Here, therefore, they met with a very brisk lad, and it came out that came out of that country, and his name was Ignorance. So Christian asked him from what part he came, and whither he was going. Ignorance then replied to Christian, "Sir, I was born in the country that lieth off there, and a little on the left hand, and I am going to the celestial city. But how do you think to get in at the gate, for you may find some difficulty?" Ignorance, being quite conceited, says, "As other good people do," said he. "But what have you to show at the gate, that the gate should be open to you?" Again, in his own conceit and ignorance, he says, "I know my Lord's will, and have been a good liver. I pay every man his own. I pray, fast, pay tithes, give alms, and have left my country from whither I am going." But Christian, not being yet sure of this man's intent, asks him, "But thou camest not in at the wicket gate, at the straight gate that leads to life eternal, that is at the head of this way? Thou camest here through that same crooked lane, and therefore I fear that you may find yourself in a desperate state on the reckoning day, and shall not be able to get in, but be considered perhaps a thief and a robber that has come over the wall by another way." Ignorance, being a gentleman and quite sure of himself, he says, "Well, you know, I may be a stranger to you, and I know you not, but be content to follow your religion in your country, and I will follow my religion in my country. I hope all will be well. And as for the gate that you talked of, all the world knows that that is a great way off, and those of our country cannot find it, and I suppose it is just as well we come our own way." Well, when Christian saw that the man was wise in his own conceits, he said to Hopeful whisperingly, quote, "There is more hope of a fool than of him," and said, "Moreover, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to every one that he is a fool." And so let us consider then that Christian and the Hopeful, as they meet Ignorance in the way, that they meet one who is wise in his own conceits. And there is no such entrance into the kingdom of God through one's own conceits. Secondly, they meet Lord Turnaway from the town of apostasy. And Lord Turnaway is another fellow who ought to know the way, but yet he has turned away from it. And so he has departed from the way that Christian and Hopeful are going. Let's turn first of all to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And we'd like to read verses 43 to 45. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, "When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, and swept, and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation." And so it is that someone who knows the way and yet turns away from the truth and goes back is often filled with seven other spirits more wicked than before. And so did Christian and Hopeful meet such a fellow on the way to the celestial city, who thought he knew the way, but yet had turned from it. And he had now left that way and turned unto his own self. In Proverbs chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. The sins of those who turn away from the truth often come back upon them, more potent than before, more seriously affecting. And so this fellow by name of Lord Turnaway from the town of apostasy finds himself in a very difficult situation. So they both went on in ignorance also, and he came after following. Now when they had passed him a little way, he entered into a very dark lane, where they met a man whom seven devils had bound with seven strong cords, and were carrying him back to the door that they saw on the side of the hill was a place where he would be constrained. Christian began to tremble, and so did Hopeful, his companion. Yet as the devils led away the man, Christian looked to see if he knew him, and he thought it might be one Turnaway that dwelt in the town of apostasy. But he did not perfectly see his face, for he did hang his head like a thief that is found. But being gone past, Hopeful looked after him, and espied on his back a paper with this inscription, quote, "Wanton professor and damnable apostate." Then said Christian to his fellow, "Now I call to remembrance that which was told to me of a thing that happened to a good man hereabout many years ago." And so it is that Christian, being so overtaken by these experiences, by meeting ignorance who was on his way to the celestial city, but being wise in his own conceits, unlike many who think that they can find their way to the celestial city, but yet they are conceited and yet they are wise in their own thinking, but they do not know the way and are quite ignorant. Then there are those who have turned away from the truth, and their turning away show them that they are not going in the right direction at all, but are headed for darkness and despair and destruction. And Christian tells the story of a man whom he remembered called Little Faith. And so let us consider this man called Little Faith. Then said Christian to his fellow, "Now I call to remembrance that which was told me of a thing that happened to a good man hereabout. The name of the man was Little Faith, but a good man, and he dwelt in the town of Sincere. The thing was this. At the entering in at this passage, there comes down from the broad gate a lane called Dead Man's Lane, so called because of the murders that are commonly done there. And this Little Faith, going on pilgrimage as we do now, chanced to sit down there and sleep. Now there happened at that time to come down the lane from Broadgate three sturdy rogues, and their names were these: Faintheart, Mistrust, and Guilt. Three brothers, and they, espying Little Faith where he was, came galloping up with speed. Now the good man was just awakened from his sleep and was getting up to go on his journey. So they came up all to him and with threatening language bid him to stand still. At this Little Faith looked as white as a sheet and had neither power to fly nor flee. Then said Faintheart, "Deliver thy purse," but he, making no haste to do it, for he was loath to lose his money, Mistrust ran up to him, and thrusting his hand into his pocket, pulled out from there a bag of silver. Then he cried out, "Thieves, thieves!" With that, Guilt, with a great club that was in his hand, struck Little Faith upon the head, and with that blow he fell flat to the ground, where he lay bleeding as one who might bleed to death. All this while the thieves stood by, but at last they, hearing that some were upon the road, and fearing lest it should be one great grace that dwells in the town of good confidence, they betook themselves to their heels and left this good man to shift for himself. Now after a little while, little faith came to himself, and getting up, made a certain movement to scramble on his way. This was the story. So they came up all to him, and with threatening language bid him to stand still. Well, Hopeful was quite taken back by this story, because Hopeful was, after all, hopeful to get to the celestial city, and he did not want to be known as one who was of little faith, nor did he want to be overtaken and robbed of his precious jewels, nor did he want to have the experience that little faith had, because Hopeful was truly hopeful. Christian also being reminded of this story of where little faith is accosted upon the road, begins to ponder these things. Know the place where his jewels were, they never ransacked. To those he kept still. But as I was told, the good man was much afflicted for his loss. For the thieves got most of his possessions, most of his spending money. That which they got not, as I said, were jewels also. He had a little odd money left, but scarce enough to bring him on his way to his journey's end. He was forced to beg as he went to keep himself alive, for his jewels he might not sell. But beg and to do what he could, he went, as we say, with many a hungry belly, the most part of the rest of the way. And so we find and do read in 1 Peter chapter 4, 17 through 19. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? As if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Well, little faith was suffering greatly. He had been overtaken by these three rogues, and he was beaten, and he did suffer much. But he must, as all good Christians, good pilgrims, commit his soul unto the keeping of a faithful Creator. Hopeful then goes on to question and to make asking, saying, but is it not a wonder they got not from him his certificate, by which he was to receive his admittance into the celestial gate? It is a wonder, surely, Christian says, but they got it not, though they missed it not through any good cunning of their own, for he, being dismayed by their coming upon him, and neither power nor skill to hide anything, so it was more by good providence than by his endeavor they missed of that good thing. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, for the which cause I also do suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. The Christian, as Christian and Hopeful, were on their way to the celestial city. It was their assurance that they must find their way as the Lord of the hill had instructed them, and they must stay on the straight and narrow path. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of punishment, to be punished. And so hopeful and Christian held these things in their hearts and hoped that they would not end up as little Faith did. But it must needs be a comfort to him. They got not the jewel from him. It might have been great comfort to him had he used it as he should, but they that told me the story said that he made but little use of it all the rest of the way, and that because of the dismay that he had in their taking away of his money, indeed he forgot the great part of the rest of his journey. And besides, when at any time it came into his mind and he began to be comforted therewith, then would fresh thoughts come into his mind again that would remind him of the great harm that he had suffered at these three rogues. Alas, poor man, this could not but be a great grief to him. Yes, it was a great grief, and certainly he suffered much at the hand of these who tried to take his best from him. Hopeful, why art thou so angry, my brother? Esau sold his birthright, and that for a mess of pottage. And that birthright was his greatest jewel. And if he, why might not little Faith do so as well? Well, Christian then responds to Hopeful, saying, well, Esau did sell his birthright indeed, and so do many besides, and by so doing exclude themselves from the chief blessing of God. But we must remember that little Faith is not like Esau. And Esau's birthright was typical, but little Faith's jewels were not so. Esau's belly was his god, but little Faith's belly was not so. Esau's want lay in his fleshly appetite. Little Faith did not so. Besides, Esau could see no further than to the fulfilling of his lusts. For I am at the point to die, he said, and what good will this birthright do to me? But little Faith, though it was his lot to have but a little faith, was by his little faith kept from such extravagances and made to see and prize his jewels more than to sell them, as Esau did his birthright. And so it was that Christian and Hopeful continued to discourse along the way, to acknowledge that little faith, though he had little faith, and though he did suffer much, yet he had his certificate to enter into the kingdom of God, to enter into the celestial city. Yes, he had the crown of righteousness which God had given to him. He had such and such jewels in his crown that he might find entrance, and that he was not as cowardly as Esau was, nor as common in his thinking. But consider again that they are but journeymen and thieves. They serve under the king of the bottomless pit, these three rogues, who, if need be, will come to their aid himself, and his voice is as strong as a roaring lion. For we know that it says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom steadfast resist steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And so we find that Christian and Hopeful began to comfort one another upon these things as they continue on their journey to the celestial city. Hopeful, well, but they ran, you see, when they did but suppose that great grace was in the way. That is true, said Christian. True, they have often fled, both they and their master, when great grace hath appeared, and no marvel, for he is the king's champion. But I trow you will put some difference between little faith and the king's champion. All the king's subjects are not his champions, nor can they, when tried, do such feats of war as he is met. To think that a little child should handle Goliath as David did, or that there should be the strength of an ox in a wren, Some are strong, some are weak, some have great faith, some have little. This man was one of the weak, and therefore he went to the wall. I would it that had been great grace for their sakes that had put them to flight. Christian, if it had been he might have had his hands full. For I must tell you that though great grace is excellently good, and all his weapons, and has and can, so long as he keeps them at sword's point, do well enough with them, yet if they get within him, he, even faint heart, mistrust, and others, it shall go hard, but they will throw up his heels. And when a man is down, you know what he can do. He will kick another. Whoso looks well upon great grace's face will see those scars and cuts there that shall easily give demonstration of what I say. Yea, once I heard that he should say, and that when he was in the combat, we despaired even of life. How did these sturdy rogues and their fellows make David groan, moan, and roar? Yea, Heman and Hezekiah too, though champions in their days, were forced to bestir them when by these assaulted, and yet notwithstanding, they had their coats soundly brushed by them. Psalm 88 reads as it follows, O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth near unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the graves, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from the hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. Thou hast put away mine acquaintances far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction, Lord. I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hand unto thee. Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like water. They compassed me about together. Lover and friend, hast thou put far from me and mine acquaintance into darkness? Yea, David groaned and mourned and roared. And yea, Heman and Hezekiah too, though champions in their days, were forced to bestir them, when by these assaulted, and yet notwithstanding, they had their coats soundly brushed by them. Peter, upon a time, would go try what he could do, but though some do say of him that he is the prince of the apostles, they handled him so that they made him at last afraid of a sorry girl. Besides, their king is at their whistle. He is never out of hearing, and if at any time they put to the worst, he, if possible, comes in to help them, and of him it is said, the sword of him that layeth at him cannot hold the spear, the dart, nor the habergeon. He esteemeth iron as straw, and brass as rotten wood. And Jesus even said to Peter, Satan desires to sift you. The arrow cannot make him fly. Sling stones are turned with him into stubble. Darts are counted as stubble. He laugheth at the shaking of a spear. What can a man do in this case? It is true, if a man could at every turn have Job's horse and had skill and courage to ride him, he might do notable things. For his neck is cold with thunder. He will not be afraid as a grasshopper. The glory of his nostrils is terrible. He pawreth in the valley and rejoiceth in his strength. He goeth on to meet the armed men. He mocketh at fear, and he is not affrighted. Neither turneth he back from the sword. The quiver rattleth against him, the glittering spear and the shield. He swalloweth the ground with fierceness of rage. Neither believeth he that it is the sound of the trumpet. He saith among the trumpets, Aha! And he smelleth the battle afar off, the thunder of the captains and the shoutings. And so Christian and Hopeful remember the story of Little Faith. They remember also that they should not consider themselves more highly than they ought to, for it may be them who might be next overtaken by these three who would completely destroy them if they could. If they could take faith away, if they could rob them of all, these three who are Satan's emissaries might do them great harm. And so it is that we remember, when therefore we hear that such robbers have gone on the king's highway, two things become us to do. First of all, to go out harnessed and be sure to take a shield with us. For it was for want of that that he who laid so lustily at Leviathan could not make him yield. For indeed, if that he be wanting his fears, he fears us not at all. Therefore he that had skill hath said, Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Secondly, it is good also that we desire the king a convoy, yea, that he will go with us himself. This made David rejoice when in the valley of the shadow of death, and Moses was rather for dying where he stood than to go one step further without his God. As in Exodus, in chapter 33, in verse 15, And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I had thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. O my brother, if he will but go along with us, what need we be afraid of 10,000s and shall set them against us? But without him, the proud help us fall under the slain. For I, my part, have been in the fray before now, and though the goodness of him that is best, I am, as you see, alive, yet I cannot boast of my manhood. Glad shall I be if I meet with no more such brutes. Though I fear we are not got beyond all danger, however, since the lion and the bear have not as yet devoured me, I hope God will also deliver us from the next uncircumcised Philistine. And then Christian and Hopeful did consider these things along the way as they traveled unto the celestial city. Lastly, then Christian said to his fellow, Now I do see myself in an error. Did not the shepherds bid us beware of the flatterer? As is the saying of the wise man, so we have found it this day. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. We'll have to wait till next time and consider more of what Pilgrim and Hopeful are going through, but they have yet more on their journey to the celestial city. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you that your word is true and assures us of deliverance. We thank you, Father, that though we find ourselves in great straits at times, and even that there is one walking about like a roaring lion seeking whom he might devour, we take great hope and courage in the Lord of the Hill, our true Master and Savior, the one who has died for us upon Calvary's tree, the one who has shed his blood for us. I pray that you will bid us go on further and trust that you will deliver us safely unto our eternal home. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to number 458. Do you know this one? Okay. Let's do 456 then. We know that one. Thank you that We desire Jesus above all else. And we pray, Father, that you will guide us and lead us aright as we follow, that we might trust in that one who has gone before us and made the way clear and has provided the means whereby we might enter our eternal home. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.